Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is September 26, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Typically on types of days when I want to do a shout-out, it's for a birthday. Well, today it is a birthday, but this is an episode I would like to dedicate to my pap. He is no longer with us, but today is his birthday. He would have been 80 years old. He's already been gone, going on 5 years, which has gone much too quickly, and we miss him dearly. This is a man who has had a great influence in my life and continues to have an influence on my life, as have all my grandparents and parents as well, and my broader family for that matter, but particularly my grandparents. This was a man who lived three lifetimes. We could write books about him. We could make movies about his life. This is no joke. He was one of a kind, and it was a true blessing to have him in my life for as long as I did. I spent a lot of time with him, had a lot of fun with him. When I was in college, you know, you're going to party, you're going to do this, that, and the other on the weekends. Not me. Of course, I did some of that, but there were many, many weekends where I drove to him and we went out and we played cards. We played poker. And so I think I have a very well-rounded education because during the week, I had my nose in the books, but on the weekends, I was learning how to be street smart. Now, nowhere near him. I'm definitely more on the book smart side than I am on the street smart side. But if you pick up on some of these podcasts, I always say, look, you got to read between the lines. You have to assess the situation. You have to understand the true motives behind what's being said, what's being reported. It's not just what we're being told, but what we're not being told. And you have to look for those angles. That's why it's so hard to come by the truth. And in those poker games and in just spending time with him, having that different side of the coin, different side of the alley, you get to understand life from multiple perspectives. And a lot of people are never exposed to that at all. A lot of people just do exactly what they're told. They listen to what was said. Why would anybody lie to me? This, that, or the other. You know, you're taught a certain healthy dose of skepticism and cynicism. So unless you go out and you really study history or sociology or any of these things, you're just going to walk right through life, never questioning things, just taking things as they are. Well, my pap taught me differently. He taught me you have to think. He taught me how to assess a situation, how to read people. These are priceless values, and these are things that I will carry with me through the rest of my life. We love you, and we miss you. Now on to the nonsense. And boy, do we have it. It continues. There is a circus in town. But first, before we get to that, let's just get the market news out of the way. The S&P closed down 7.25 points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 80. The NASDAQ lost 47 points. The Russell 2000 gave back 17 points, losing 1% for the day. The Dow Jones Transports lost 0.2%. And the New York Stock Exchange was down but relatively flat for the day. Oil is at $56. Brent, the international metric, is at $62.25. Gold is trading at $1,507 an ounce. Silver down again slightly at $17.82. The U.S. 10-year Treasury gave back 3 percentage points and is now yielding 1.69%. And the VIX, while it was up, was relatively flat and is at 16.07. Now, the markets, sort of right before the close, spiked. They rallied. Why? Because now China came out and said, well, look, there was some goodwill shown to us by the United States to remove some tariffs or to not enact further tariffs on a handful of goods. Okay, we've been over this. So the markets rallied. But then they sold off again at the very end of the day. So in a very short time frame, you had this whipsaw movement in the markets, and they closed down. The Russell 2000, the small cap index, gave pretty much everything that it gained yesterday right back, and everything was down. So I don't know. Again, one day does not make a trend. So I don't know if this narrative of quote-unquote positive trade narrative is losing momentum. It's running out of steam. Boy, do I hope so, because I'm tired of hearing of it. This is market manipulation from everybody. It's from the president, it's from his administration, and now the Chinese are starting to chip in. This is ridiculous. So I am hoping that this narrative is starting to lose steam. Now, if it does, look out below, because if the markets have to focus on nothing but the fundamentals of this economy, it ain't going to be pretty. And if they have to focus on the fundamentals of the global economy, it's definitely not going to be pretty. The market is clinging its all hope that there is going to be some sort of trade deal. Newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about this for months. Soybeans ain't going to save the day. Not going to do it. Not even going to come close. The global economy was slowing down before this whole trade fiasco started. What the trade war is doing is just exacerbating the problem. Period. Stop. End of story. So, again, more nonsense. We're going to see if this is a trend. One day does not make a trend. But if we continue to see other headlines coming out saying something positive about trade and the markets sell off or they don't like it, we got a problem. Now, on to the circus that we are in. And this is serious, too, by the way. Despite the fact that it is a circus, it is serious because we are in the midst of U.S. history. This is U.S. political history. We had the acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, testify in an open session before the House Intelligence Committee. This was a public session, so there's not a lot of, there's no classified information that's going to be discussed in an open setting. So this is just a part of the circus. The Democrats get to get in their talking points and their, and all of their political punches. And likewise, the Republicans get to mention their points and their defense of the president or what they think is going on here. This is par for the course. This is what we've been seeing for months on end, quite longer than that, but this podcast has only been on since February, so this is what we've been talking about since the start of this podcast, and it is going to continue for some time, because this investigation into these whistleblower complaint, which we're going to talk about here today, is not going away anytime soon. We had the transcript come out yesterday from the White House in regards to the phone call between President Donald Trump and President Zelensky of Ukraine. And we stated earlier in the week that the president, why would he release this if it wasn't something that was going to exonerate him or was going to look harmless? Well, one reason that I did not mention, and I should have, but one reason is because in the midst of this investigation, these documents can be subpoenaed by Congress, by the Intelligence Committee. So in an effort to perhaps get in front of being subpoenaed, the White House said, you know what, it's just going to be a better political calculation, perhaps maybe a better legal calculation to release this voluntarily as opposed to it being under subpoena, because then it looks like we're being transparent. We're putting out all of those documents. So there's a lot of moving parts here. And what I'm going to do today is take the time to read the Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, his note to the Director of National Intelligence, because this thing also was heated, because this was supposed to be turned in earlier than what it was. This was handed over to Congress just yesterday. So we're going to read through this. The complaint of the whistleblower, so the whistleblower's complaint is also made public, and we're going to go through that as well. Now, we're not going to get through all of these documents here today. They're not that lengthy, but there's a lot to digest. There's a lot of names, a lot of statutes, a lot of details. So we're going to take our time to go through this. You can, of course, find this online, a simple Google search, and you'll find these documents. Some of you may have taken the time to read these documents. Some of you, have heard tidbits on whatever media outlet you were paying attention to. But what I want to do is consistent with what we did earlier this year in regards to testimony from Lisa Page, the former FBI attorney who was involved with both the Clinton email investigation and the Donald Trump Russia collusion conspiracy investigation. And we took the time to read those transcripts verbatim because I thought it was important that you have the full facts. Because if you're watching CNN or if you're watching Fox News, again, you're going to get siloed in, and they are going to cherry pick what they're going to talk about. And nor do I expect anybody to read the entire document. They're trying to get ratings. They're trying to move things along. They have various analysts and people, commentators on there giving their opinion and analysis. So they're going to read tidbits of everything. But I want to set the stage for giving you as many facts as possible, because we're not going to know the truth for quite a while if we ever know the full truth, which is what we talk about here all the time. So I'm just going to take my time, to go through the Office of the Inspector General's report that was turned over to the Acting Director of National Intelligence on August 26, 2019. Dear Acting Director McGuire, on Monday, August 12, 2019, the Office of the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, ICIG, received information from an individual, herein after the complainant, concerning an alleged urgent concern pursuant to statute. The law requires that not later than the end of the 14 calendar day period beginning on the date of receipt from an employee of a complaint or information under subparagraph A, the Inspector General shall determine whether the complaint or information appears credible. For the reasons discussed below, among others, I have determined that the complainant has reported an urgent concern that appears credible. As you know, the ICIG is authorized to, among other things, receive and investigate complaints or information from any person concerning the existence of an activity within the authorities and responsibilities of the Director of National Intelligence constituting a violation of laws, rules or regulations, or mismanagement, gross waste of funds, abuse of authority, or a substantial and specific danger to the public health and safety. In connection with that authority, an employee of an element of the intelligence community, an employee assigned or detailed to an element of the intelligence community, or an employee of a contractor to the intelligence community who intends to report to Congress a complaint or information with respect to an urgent concern may report such complaint or information to the ICIG. The term urgent concern is defined in relevant part as the following: a serious or flagrant problem, abuse, violation of law or executive order, or deficiency relating to the funding, administration, or operation of an intelligence activity within the responsibility and authority of the Director of National Intelligence involving classified information, but does not include differences of opinions concerning public policy matters. The complainant's identity is known to me. As allowed by law, however, the complainant has requested that the ICIG not disclose the complainant's identity at this time. For your information, the complainant has retained an attorney, identified the attorney to the ICIG, and requested that the attorney be the complainant's point of contact in subsequent communications with the Congressional Intelligence Committee on this matter. As part of the complainant's report to the ICIG of information with respect to the urgent concern, the complainant included a letter addressed to the Honorable Richard Burr, Chairman, U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and the Honorable Adam Schiff, Chairman, U.S. House of Representatives, Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, hereinafter the complainant's letter. The complainant's letter referenced a separate classified appendix containing information pertaining to the urgent concern, hereinafter the classified appendix, which the complainant also provided to the ICIG and which the complainant intends to provide to Chairman Burr and Schiff. The ICIG attaches here to the complainant's letter addressed to Chairman Burr and Schiff in the classified appendix. The ICIG has informed the complainant that the transmittal of information by the Director of National Intelligence related to the complainant's report to the Congressional Intelligence Committees, as required by the statute, may not be limited to Chairman Burr and Schiff. The complainant's letter and classified appendix delineate the complainant's information pertaining to the urgent concern. According to the complainant's letter, the actions described in the complainant's letter and classified appendix constitute a serious or flagrant problem, abuse, or violation of law or executive order, consistent with the definition of an urgent concern in the statute. Upon receiving the information reported by the complainant, the ICIG conducted a preliminary review to determine whether the report constituted an urgent concern under the statute. As part of the preliminary review, the ICIG confirmed that the complainant is an employee of an element of the intelligence community, an employee assigned or detailed to an element of the intelligence community, or an employee of a contractor to the intelligence community. The ICIG also confirmed that the complainant intends to report to Congress the complainant's information relating to the urgent concern. So this whistleblower is a member in some shape or form of the intelligence community, and they intend to report to Congress. Continuing, as stated above, to constitute an urgent concern under the statute, the information reported by the complainant must constitute a serious or flagrant problem, abuse, violation of law or executive order, or deficiency relating to the funding, administration, or operation of an intelligence activity within the responsibility and authority of the Director of National Intelligence involving classified information. Here, the complainant's letter alleged, among other things, that the President of the United States, in a telephone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on July 25, 2019, quote, sought to pressure the Ukrainian leader to take actions to help the President's 2020 re-election bid, end quote. U.S. laws and regulations prohibit a foreign national, directly or indirectly, from making a contribution or donation of money or other thing of value, or to make an express or implied promise to make a contribution or donation in connection with a federal, state, or local election. Similarly, U.S. laws and regulations prohibit a person from soliciting, accepting, or receiving such a contribution or donation from a foreign national, directly or indirectly, in connection with a federal, state, or local election. Further, in the ICIG's judgment, alleged conduct by a senior U.S. public official to seek foreign assistance to interfere in or influence a federal election would constitute a serious or flagrant problem or abuse under the statute, which would also potentially expose such a U.S. public official or others acting in concert with the U.S. public official to serious national security and counterintelligence risk with respect to foreign intelligence services aware of such alleged conduct. So just imagine here that if somebody was getting this type of information from a foreign actor, that country's intelligence community might know about this, and so it would expose the U.S. official to blackmail, which would obviously be a national security risk or a counterintelligence risk. So that is one of the problems that exists within this picture, potentially. Continuing. In addition, the Director of National Intelligence has responsibility and authority pursuant to federal law and executive orders to administer and operate programs and activities related to potential foreign interference in a United States election. Among other responsibilities and authorities subject to the authority, direction, and control of the President, the Director of National Intelligence shall serve as the head of the intelligence community, act as the principal advisor to the President, to the National Security Council, and to the Homeland Security Council for intelligence matters related to national security, and shall oversee and direct the implementation of the National Intelligence Program and execution of the National Intelligence Program budget. Further, the United States intelligence community, under the leadership of the Director of National Intelligence, shall collect information concerning and conduct activities to protect against intelligence activities directed against the United States. More recently, in issuing Executive Order 13848, imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign influence in a United States election dated September 12, 2018, President Trump stated the following regarding foreign influence in United States elections. I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, find that the ability of persons located in whole or in part outside the United States to interfere in or undermine public confidence in United States elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure, or the covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation, constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. This document also provides some footnotes on this, so if you want to check those out again, you can easily find this document online. Continuing, more recently, on July 19, 2019, as part of the Director of National Intelligence's responsibility and authority to administer and operate programs and activities related to potential foreign interference in a United States election, the Director of National Intelligence announced the establishment of the Intelligence Community Election Threats Executive. In the words of then-Director of National Intelligence Daniel R. Coates, who announced the establishment of the new position within the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, election security is an enduring challenge and a top priority for the IC. A few days later, in an internal announcement for the ODNI, then-Director Coates stated, quote, I can think of no higher priority mission than working to counter adversary efforts to undermine the very core of our democratic process, end quote. As a result, I have determined that the complainant's information would constitute an urgent concern, as defined in the statute, provided that I also determine that the information appears credible as required by the statute. Based on the information reported by the complainant to the ICIG in the ICIG's preliminary review, I have determined that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the complaint relating to the urgent concern, quote, appears credible. The ICIG's preliminary review indicated that the complainant has official and authorized access to the information and sources referenced in the complainant's letter in classified appendix, and that the complainant has subject matter expertise related to much of the material information provided in the complainant's letter and classified appendix. The complainant's letter acknowledges that the complainant was not a direct witness to the president's telephone call with the Ukrainian president on July 25, 2019. Other information obtained during the ICIG's preliminary review, however, supports the complainant's allegation that, among other things, during the call, the president, quote, sought to pressure the Ukrainian leader to take actions to help the president's 2020 re-election bid, end quote. Further, although the ICIG's preliminary review identified some indicia of an arguable political bias on the part of the complainant in favor of a rival political candidate, such evidence did not change my determination that the complaint relating to the urgent concern appears credible, particularly given the other information the ICIG obtained during its preliminary review. So the Inspector General here is calling out a political bias of the complainant, but is saying the facts outweigh the political bias at this juncture. Continuing, as part of its preliminary review, the ICIG did not request access to records of the president's July 25, 2019 call with the Ukrainian president. Based on the sensitivity of the alleged urgent concern, I directed ICIG personnel to conduct a preliminary review of the complainant's information. Based on the information obtained from the ICIG's preliminary review, I decided that access to records of the telephone call was not necessary to make my determination that the complaint relating to the urgent concern appears credible. In addition, given the time consumed by the preliminary review, together with lengthy negotiations that I anticipated over access to and use of records of the telephone call, particularly for purposes of communicating a disclosure to the Congressional Intelligence Committees, I concluded that it would be highly unlikely for the ICIG to obtain those records within the limited remaining time allowed by the statute. I also understood from the ICIG's preliminary review that the National Security Council had already implemented special handling procedures to preserve all records of the telephone call. So basically what the IG is saying, if he was to request these documents from the White House, he anticipated that the White House would have stalled this process, and under the statute, the IG only had so much time to act. But he appeared to believe that given all of the other evidence thus far found, again, this is appearing to be a credible complaint. So he said, well, we're going to forego negotiating with the White House to get these documents. What we already know appears to be credible. Continuing, nevertheless, the ICIG understands that the records of the call will be relevant to any further investigation of this matter. For your information, the ICIG has sent concurrently with this transmittal a notice of a document access request and a document hold notice to the White House counsel to request access to and the preservation of any and all records related to the president's telephone call with the Ukrainian president on July 25, 2019, and alleged related efforts to solicit, obtain, or receive assistance from foreign nationals in Ukraine, directly or indirectly, in connection with a federal election. The document access request and document hold notice were issued pursuant to the ICIG's authority to conduct independent investigations and reviews on programs and activities within the responsibility and authority of the Director of National Intelligence, which includes the authority for the ICIG to have, quote, direct access to all records, reports, audits, reviews, documents, papers, recommendations, or other materials that relate to the programs and activities with respect to which the Inspector General has responsibilities under this section, end quote. Having determined that the complaint relating to the urgent concern appears credible, I am transmitting to you this notice of my determination, along with the complainant's letter and classified appendix. Upon receipt of this transmittal, the Director of National Intelligence, quote, shall, within 7 calendar days of such receipt, forward such transmittal to the Congressional Intelligence Committees, together with any documents the Director considers appropriate, end quote. Because the ICIG has the statutory responsibility to notify an employee who reports a complaint or information to the ICIG concerning an urgent concern of each action taken with respect to the complaint or information not later than 3 days after any such action is taken, I respectfully request that you provide the ICIG with notice of your transmittal to the Congressional Intelligence Committees not later than 3 days after the transmittal is made to them. In addition, as required by the statute, the ICIG is required to notify the complainant not later than 3 days after today's date of my determination that the complaint relating to the urgent concern appears credible and that the ICIG transmitted on today's notice, on today's date notice of that determination to the Director of National Intelligence along with the complainant's letter and classified appendix. If you have any questions or require additional information concerning this matter, please do not hesitate to contact me. Sincerely yours, Michael K. Atkinson, Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. So, folks, it appears that we have an urgent concern, and it appears credible, and that is why we are in the midst of a formal impeachment inquiry. This is not going to go away anytime soon. Again, this was the Office of Inspector General's report, his letter to the Acting Director of National Intelligence, who testified today before an open session of the House Intelligence Committee, and I do believe behind a closed-door classified session with the Senate Intelligence Committee. Tomorrow, and perhaps on Saturday or on Sunday's look ahead, we will continue to follow up on the actual whistleblower's complaint, and in that complaint, he or she does name names. There are a handful of American officials that are named, and there are quite a few Ukrainians who are named. One name that continues to come up, and I said this yesterday, this is perplexing to me in all of this, is Rudy Giuliani. I do not know his role in all of this, but again, he was giving an interview, it was either yesterday or today, and he basically said, look, at the end of all of this, I'm going to be the hero. This is Rudy Giuliani saying this. At the end of all of this, I am going to be the hero. Not this whistleblower, not the Democrats, me, Rudy Giuliani. I am going to be the hero. So I don't know what Rudy Giuliani knows. I don't know if he's a spy for the FBI, what he's doing, but he is, according to the whistleblower's complaint, which is footnoted, and we're going to go through this, Giuliani has been globetrotting all over the place. For what purpose remains to be fully known. But there is something to me that just does not sound right, that the personal attorney of the President of the United States would be globetrotting regarding this matter. This is what is the head scratcher in all of this. Why this couldn't be a U.S. ambassador, why this couldn't be some other U.S. diplomat, why this couldn't be somebody within the State Department or within the Treasury Department, because this has to deal with corruption and a whole bunch of other issues. I just don't get Rudy Giuliani's role in all of this. Again, other than to say that it is very Clinton-esque in that, well, if you're committing a crime, you might as well commit it with your personal attorney, because then everything falls under attorney-client privilege, and the way the FBI works, nobody's going to do anything. So these questions are serious. Nobody is above the law. There are some things that are within the whistleblower's complaint that is worrisome to me. And all of you know my opinions of Donald J. Trump. I mean, I give him credit where credit is due, but I have not been too fond of him lately. And when it comes to impeachment, given yesterday's podcast in regards to the transcript that they released, I said this doesn't seem to me to rise to the level of impeachment. Now, we don't have all the facts, and I said we are not going to speculate, which is why I didn't want to misquote anything, which is why I took the time to read the Office of Inspector General's note to the Acting Director of National Intelligence. I don't want to misquote. I don't want to misstate. I don't want to throw off any timeline. I want to give you guys the facts of the case as we know it. There are still a lot of moving parts in all of this. But there are things that would warrant, in my opinion, that this would be a matter, it would be an urgent concern, and it does appear credible. Because I can tell you this, as a little teaser, unless you've already read the whistleblower's complaint, what was written in the whistleblower's complaint is consistent with what came out of the phone transcript, the phone call transcript from the White House yesterday. However, we said during yesterday's podcast that that very transcript said on it, caution, this is not a verbatim transcript. This does not jive with what the whistleblower's complaint states, that these types of conversations do have verbatim transcripts. So we were not given the verbatim transcript. Did it exist? Is this something that is being misstated on purpose or by accident by the whistleblower? Or did the White House put out a non-verbatim transcript on purpose because maybe the verbatim transcript is highly damning? We don't know. We don't know, and we are not going to speculate, but those are pretty much the outcomes that we're going to expect. So stay tuned, stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capitol News. Thank you so much for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, and leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. This is an important story. This is not going away anytime soon. Again, this is either going to lead to the impeachment of a president of the United States, perhaps also his removal, or this is going to be one of the biggest political blunders in all of history for the Democratic Party. Stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Alex Kritis. Godspeed.